Tomorrow is a very special day for our country as we recognize Memorial Day. So if I could have all the veterans in the House please stand up to be recognized. Thank you all very much. We really appreciate your dedication, your service to this country. We obviously could not enjoy the freedoms and the virtues and the values that our country holds without your sacrifice of many years in the service, and especially of the sacrifice of your friends who didn't make it home. So we really appreciate your willingness to serve this great country of ours. Today is a very special day also because today is Father Matt's 30th anniversary to the priesthood. And so during these 30 years, he served at St. Benedict's. This is not an exhaustive list, just what I could come up with. St. Benedict's, Holy Family Cathedral, St. Catherine's. He was the vocation director for a while, so if one of these days you find a priest you don't like, you can blame him. He was at the T.U. Newman Center. He was at St. Pius X, and obviously here at St. Anne's, and he's served on the Presbyteral Council for many years for our diocese and serving with the bishop, serving everyone. So please give him a hearty congratulations later if you see him, because we are very, very blessed to have Father Matt here at this parish and here in this diocese. He has many gifts and talents that he's been able to share with us and that we benefit greatly from. He's a great pastor, one of the best pastors in the diocese, so we really should consider ourselves very lucky to have him at St. Anne's, especially for us long as you have his now longest assignment, and he is loving it, so thank him later. I really like this author named Brandon Sanderson, and he's got this series called The Stormlight Archives. And at the end of book one, Kaladin kind of receives this power-up, I guess you could say. And so during book two, he's trying to figure out how do these powers work. And so he starts practicing them and using them, and he finds out he can stick things to walls, and he can run on walls themselves, and he can fly. And if he gets injured really badly, he can heal really fastly. But the reason he has these powers is because he's made this oath. He's made this oath that he will always protect people, regardless of who they are, especially if they can't protect themselves. And he's approached by this group, and they basically say to him, like, God, Kaladin, we've got a horrible king. He's a terrible leader. He's a terrible example. He's not doing anything good for our country. He needs to go. And so Kaladin thinks about it, thinks it's a horrible idea at first, but eventually comes to realize they're right. This is a terrible king, and our country would be so much better off without him. So he decides to assassinate the king with this group, and he immediately loses his powers. He can't fly anymore, he can't heal, he can't draw on the stormlight or do any of these things that he used to be doing because he broke his oath. And as the assassination gets closer and closer, Kaladin gets injured really grievously, and so he's stuck on crutches. But as the night of the assassination draws to a close, he decides this is a terrible idea. Even though the king is terrible, even though he's a horrible leader, he doesn't deserve to die in this way. And so he hobbles on his crutches over to the palace to try to protect the king, tells him an assassination is coming, and he tries to protect him just on these crutches. And through this kind of conversion of heart, through this renewal of his promises to protecting anyone regardless of who they are, even if they don't deserve it, he gets his powers back. And so the two big bad guys who are sent to kill the king, he's able to defeat them in battle, and then he flies off to defeat the big bad guy of the book series. And this kind of reminded me of kind of what the apostles go through up to this point of Pentecost. They're walking with our Lord. In a sense, they're kind of gaining grace, they're gaining power, they're gaining wisdom, they're gaining knowledge, they're gaining holiness by walking with our Lord. And he sends them out to heal people, to cast out demons, to be with people, to bring Jesus Christ to them, and to bring the good news to them. But then that great day of the crucifixion comes, and they all disappear. They all betray our Lord. They're too scared to go through something like that. They break their oath and their promises to this great man who they are made for, this great man who has given them life, this great man who's called them to something wonderful and beautiful, and they betrayed this man. But then here today on Pentecost, we see once again this renewal, this conversion of heart. We see them go back to our Lord. And on today, they receive this great power once again, this power to preach, this power to heal, this power to go out into the world and to spread the good news, and for that good news to continue to spread to this day, 2,000 years later, where there are now 1 billion Catholics in the world. And so we are very lucky to have seen this power to grow and blossom all throughout the world. But there's a difference between Kaladin's story and the Apostle's story. One is a fairy tale. One's a work of fiction. It's a very good work of fiction, in my opinion, but still a work of fiction. And you see all these fantastic things happening, people flying in the air and healing others and being healed very easily whenever they're wounded in battle. But we see the saints do something very, very similar in reality in this church that we all profess. We see some saints fly. We've seen St. Joseph Cupertino during his life. He would fly often. People would commonly see him flying across the sky. St. Teresa of Avila, whenever she would pray, she would levitate so often that she had to have a religious sister sit on her to weigh her down so that she wouldn't be a constant distraction to all her religious sisters around her. We see Padre Pio, who's able to bilocate, as well as St. Benedict can bilocate. Padre Pio was able to read souls. He was able, at one point, he flew kind of up in the air, and as these American bombers in World War II were going to go bomb his monastery, they saw this flying monk in the air, and he diverted the ships to where they dropped their bombs in just a field, and were able to return back to base safely because Padre Pio wanted to protect his brother monks. And so we see these fantastical things that we think belong in fairy tales, even in our church. We see the wondrous miracles that we just can't quite comprehend, because all these saints so relied on the power of the Holy Spirit in their lives that at certain moments, the Holy Spirit was willing to grace them in powerful ways, so that this power, this grace, this holiness, this love, this mercy that Jesus Christ wants to give to all of us can go out into the world and all of us can benefit from it. So do we believe in the same Holy Spirit? Do we often pray to the Holy Spirit that whatever spiritual gifts he wants to give us, that we may receive those gifts and do the same and bestow those gifts back onto the world, to share those gifts with our neighbors who so desperately need the love and mercy of Jesus Christ in their lives? Are we even open to the Holy Spirit? Are we willing to act whenever he begs us to act? Are we willing to listen whenever he's trying to speak to us? In those moments whenever maybe there's someone in our lives who's really, really sick, and they need some help, they need some prayers, are we willing to actually pray for this person? You know, the Holy Spirit and our Lord has given these powers to these apostles and to all his disciples so that we can sanctify the world, so that we can bring people closer to Jesus Christ and ultimately to salvation. G.K. Chesterton says about fairy tales are more than true, not because they tell us that dragons exist, but because they tell us that dragons can be beaten. And there are many dragons in this world. There are many demons in this world to desire to divert us from the path that Jesus Christ has laid out before us. There's Satan and all of his many cohorts of demons who want to spread temptation and confusion and falsities and lies and all these terrible things that we are not made for in this world. But the Holy Spirit desires to be that person who conquers those demons, who conquers those dragons and those temptations in our lives, so that we can be empowered by the Holy Spirit to actually walk the path that Jesus Christ puts before us. But sometimes we do find some people in our lives who desperately need prayers in our lives. Maybe they're sick from cancer or some sort of other illness, and family member, coworker, friend, and we always say to them, we'll pray for you. And we do, which is a great and wonderful and beautiful thing. We pray for them in the quietness of our hearts. We pray for them at home, maybe with our spouse, our children, behind a closed door, which is a very good thing. But how often are we willing to kind of reach out in that moment and pray with them right then and there? Our Lord sent the apostles out into the world to heal, to cast out demons, not to do all these things in the quietness of the hearts or behind closed doors, but face to face. As our Lord heals people's sins face to face, as he heals our wounds and illnesses face to face, as he heals them at the core of their being, heals their very soul face to face, we too are called to kind of reach out in boldness and faith and love for this person in whatever circumstances they may find themselves, and pray for them, and have that boldness, to have that faith. Because so often I think we see this person who's suffering, we say, man, this is a really terrible situation, but I hope you really offer it up. Because you're going through this horrible situation, and if you offer this up, you can receive a lot of grace, which is true, which is why we fast for our friends, which is why we fast for those we see really need help and grace and Jesus Christ in their lives, because we know that our sufferings can bring grace into our lives and into their lives. So it's a very beautiful thing, but do we use that as an excuse not to pray with others? Do we find it too awkward, too weird? We just don't do it very often. Because as Catholics, we're not very good at praying with others in the moment. When we see this person, this circumstance, we don't really reach out a whole lot as often as we should. And I don't blame you. Priests don't like to pray out loud either. Whenever I'm in a group of priests and we come to the end of our meeting and someone says, all right, he wants to pray us out, we all look at each other like, all right, who's going to do this? And so it can be awkward, but it's something our Lord desires us to do. And it's kind of interesting how we have so much faith when we go to the confessional. We walk in there. We bear our souls to the priest. We give him all of our sins, especially our mortal sins. We receive the words of absolution, and poof, the gates of heaven are now open. Your soul is clean. You're now connected back with Jesus Christ if you're in a state of mortal sin, and you can love him the way he wants to be loved. And we believe that, in a sense, very easily. We come to Mass, and we consecrate the Eucharist. We say some simple words. The priest holds some bread in his hands, the wine in his hands, says some simple words, and we believe that becomes the body, blood, soul, and divinity of Jesus Christ. And Jesus Christ made it very clear during his lifetime that forgiveness of sins is a much kind of greater, I guess you could say, power and a greater grace than healings. And yet we're not very often willing to reach out and pray with another person for healing. We just don't do that very often. And so there's almost this inconsistency in our prayer life, some inconsistency in our faith. We go to something so easily, even though we're asking for this great, great favor. And at other times, we're asking for a smaller favor, or just not quite willing to actually ask for it. In the second reading, we hear there are different spiritual gifts, but the same Spirit. And so all of us have been given some sort of spiritual gifts. Some of you have been given many spiritual gifts, and you are very blessed for that. And so often we say to ourselves, well, I'm really just not that special. I'm not St. Padre Pio, I'm not St. Benedict, I'm not Teresa of Avila, I'm not St. Joseph of Cupertino. And so we just use these excuses of, oh, I'm not special enough, and God wouldn't grace me in that way. But let me tell you what, after 4 years of being with you all are that special. This is a very, very blessed community. And maybe you have so many great, wonderful gifts and talents to share and spread with one another, with the greater community, and with the St. Anne's community. I know how special you are. And some of you could totally receive some special gifts from the Holy Spirit if you work with him and if you listen to him. And so we need to strive to open up our hearts just a little bit more to the graces of the Holy Spirit. We need to have the belief that all these miracles, all these saints, these healings, these saints who did amazing, magnificent things, these aren't things just from a bygone age, but the Holy Spirit continued to want to work today. He wants to work magnificent miracles through each and every one of us. He wants to act quietly in the silence of our hearts so that other people can know the love, the joy, and the peace of Jesus Christ. And so I ask you, do you think that if we all really believe this, that the Holy Spirit wants to work through us in this way, that we could set the world on fire? Because I think we could. I think if we really opened ourselves up to the Holy Spirit and relied on him as the saints did, then we really could set Broken Arrow and St. Anne's on fire with the graces of the Holy Spirit. And we would all be so much the better for it, and would see the love and mercy of Jesus Christ.